For starters, the source for Yom Kippur Shagalius really goes back to the times of the when they kept the Neid Rosh Chodesh Al Pi Re'iya and Al Pi Cheshbon. They used Eidim who saw the new moon and they came running to Beis Din. Take a look in the early section of the Maseches Vashon, the first two Brachot, and they came running to Beis Din or traveling to Beis Din, maybe even on Shabbos. And they would testify that they saw the new moon, and basically would say Mekudesh Mekudesh. And unfortunately, they couldn't send out, you know, they couldn't post it on Facebook, they couldn't put it on the internet, they couldn't send out telephone calls. It took a long time to get the word as to when exactly the Eidim saw the moon. If the Eidim saw it, let's just say, and Monday became Rosh Chodesh versus Tuesday becoming Rosh Chodesh. So Monday is going to now be the first, or Tuesday is going to now be the first, has major halakhic implications, because if Pesach is, let's say, the 15th, was Pesach going to be 15 days from Monday, 15 days from Tuesday, which would mean, would it be the Tuesday or Wednesday of 2 weeks from now? People are going to end up making mistakes, eat chametz the wrong day, and all sorts of serious concerns. So what they did was they sent down messengers, and the messengers went out to spread the word, and anyone who figured out what the word was, great. Anyone who doesn't know what the word is, anyone who never heard it, so that person would keep both days just in case. And although today we really know we know what's called Kaviyat Diarcha, we know which exactly which is correct, we get the calendar and figure out the precise details. Nonetheless, we have a minhag, minagavasenu biadenu, minagavasechem biadechem, depending if we're talking about ourselves or the them, Israelis talking about them. We have a minhag option to be a din. It's our minhag to keep you on the chain. Shagalius. Why do we keep this minhag? So if you look at the Yerushalmi, it kind of sounds like a little bit of a punishing thing, like a knas. You should have come to Eretz Yisrael, and you didn't, so you better, you know, keep an extra day. If you look at the Babli, it's a different presentation. It's more like it's more like lest there be a government who doesn't allow you to keep the mitzvahs and become to mess it up again. Let's keep it intact, because if we ever need it again, you should be aware of these dinim. So that's our minhag. And since this the standard approach, seems to be a split between Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. Anyone in Eretz Yisrael should be keeping one day. And anyone keeping in Chutz La'aretz keeps 2 days. And even though it's not exactly where the shluchim could reach, theoretically, you know, if take a 14-day journey from Yerushalayim, you know, you can get to parts of Jordan quicker than you can get to parts of all the way up north. Nonetheless, our chiluk is Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. That seems to be the standard chiluk. The Brisk Rav, based on the Rambam, thought differently. The Brisk Rav was in the Daik in the Rambam. It didn't matter where the Eidim could have gotten, it mattered where they actually did get. And then for the Brisk Rav, who lived in Me'e Sharon, kept 2 days of Yom Tov. It was Machlis to keep 2 days of Yom Tov every single Chag. He always kept 2 days because he lived in Me'e Sharon, and that was his place to live. And since the Shlichim never went to Me'e Sharon because it wasn't settled in those days, supposedly he felt just keep 2 days. That doesn't seem to be the standard practice. The standard practice is Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz, and that seems to be what we hold. What about Rosh Hashanah quickly before we get to our halachic shayla? So Rosh Hashanah, suddenly he's in Eretz Yisrael, he can keep 2 days. For starters, that is actually debated. The Rabbeinu Ephraim, quoted by the Baal Amor and Maseches Beitza, right over there in Daf Dalet, writes, no, in a chinami, Rosh Hashanah should keep 1 day as well. And it couldn't be historically, there was some point in time where they did that. Nonetheless, it doesn't seem to be the well accepted Pesach. I don't think we keep 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. Rather, we keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because if they basically come in Mekadesh to Chodesh, you don't have 14 days to spread the word, to send out Shlichim, and let everyone know that it was Rosh Chodesh on Monday versus Tuesday, or whatnot, and you don't have 2 weeks before Pesach. Rosh Hashanah is immediately, so therefore even Eretz Yisrael we keep 2 days. Okay, good. That is the basic background information for Yom Tov Sheni Shagalius. Now let's get to our Shaila. Our Shaila is, let's say a person comes from Muncie, New York, or Chicago, or Muncie also, or Florida, or Denver, I don't know, Baltimore or St. Louis, depending on how you look at yourself, Teaneck, Silver Spring, what's it called, Spinal. Every person comes from London, all the other places, fine, Elizabeth and Five Towns, we got everyone. Let's say a person comes from one of these places. So what's the halacha? That they're in Eretz Yisrael, should they keep 1 day, should they keep 2 days? It's a difficult situation. If they'd be in Chutz La'aretz, they're keeping 2 days, but over here it's keeping 1 day, what's the halacha? So the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim is a great starting point. The Mishnah Maseches Pesachim and Daf Nun tells us how to deal with minhagim, places that you're not in. And the Mishnah says Maseches Pesachim and Daf Nun. Either way, we go to Chumrah. If let's just say there's a minhag to do malacha on Erev, which I minhag to refrain from doing malacha on Erev Pesach. Such a minhag exists not to do malacha on Erev Pesach. So let's say you come from a place where you do malacha, and you're in a place where you don't do malacha. Or you come from a place where you don't do malacha and you're visiting your cousin or uncle in a place where they do malacha. What's the halacha? We go to Chumrah both ways. If you come from a place where the machmir, even though you're in a place where you make, you should not do malacha. Similarly, vice versa, you should not do malacha or machmir both ways. If that's the case, presumably what should be the halacha? What should one predict the halacha should be if you come to Eretz Yisrael? For what's the Yom Tov Shel Galus and Pesach Shavuos Sukkot wouldn't make a difference. What should the halacha be? You should be machmer and keep 2 days. And this seems to be the standard. Pesach of Yosef Karo passed this way in his Shailos Teshuvah is called Avkas Ruchel. That's how he passed it. It's Shuva Chaf Vav. The Magen Avraham seems to follow this Pesach. Mishneh Berurah follows this Pesach. This seems to be the Pesach of the overwhelming majority of poskim. I think Rav Nevenzahl, you know, encourages Talmidim to do that, and therefore Bnei Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael should keep 2 days. In which case, before we get to the standing opinion, the Chacham Tzvi knows, in which case the next question gets developed is, okay, who's a Bnei Chutz La'aretz? How do you know what you are? So, if you've been all your life in Eretz Yisrael and you're coming here for 3 days, it's pretty straightforward. But let's say you live 6 months here and 6 months there. Let's say you plan on coming here and you're not sure if you're going back. So a lot of these shilohs are subject to dispute. Let's just start off with some of the basic stuff. The Mishnah Berurah's lashon seems like if you plan on moving here for the rest of your life, that's a better answer. Other poskim, more makel, they say it's not the entire life, but rather, Rav Shlomo Zalman in Minchas Shlomo Chelek Aleph, I think it's Yud Tes Tshuva Os Zayin or whatever it is, the Minchas Shlomo writes, Shlomo Rabach writes that if you plan on being here for 3 ragolim, if you plan on coming here for a full year, which is the Gimel Ragolim, then that counts as you're here for the year, and you're considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael, at least for the year, in which case you should be keeping 1 day. Rav Adya quotes this and suggests that you're for Sephardim as well. I think Rav Mordechai Elio felt, even if you're not, Rav Adya says went even one step further, and said, even if you're just here for the Gimel Ragolim and you're back in between, let's say you come here 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, so that also counts as the whole year because we judge the year based upon the Ragolim. Beyond that, Rav Mordechai Elio used to tell Talmidim who came here for a Shana Aleph for the year, he said, listen, you're here for a year, you're here for 10 months, you'll be going back Pesach time. Those are just technical things. Fundamentally, you're here for the year. The year is a school year. You may go back for the summer. You may go back to your sister's wedding for a few days. You may go back for Pesach. Fundamentally, you're here, and Rav Mordechai Elio would say keep 1 day as well. And therefore, many poskim think, certainly for Shana Aleph kids, many poskim certainly think for people here for the Shkimel Ragolim, these are all subject to Machlokes poskim. There's a tshuva Rav Adya has in Chazon Rav Adya, and it's on page 139, Kuf Lametes. Rav Adya there discusses. Suppose other Sephardi poskim, let's say a Sephardi kid comes who's single. He comes only for, let's say, 8 days. That's his plan. Come for 8 days and come be for Sukkot. Who knows what? So Rav Adya says, with a lot of Sephardi poskim, well, that since maybe he'll meet a girl, he'll stick around. He knows how boy the mitzvah of marriage is, but Puravu, since it's Asher to leave Eretz Yisrael anyway, even though he has a plane ticket, although he'll do tshuva before the date on the plane ticket, you put that all together and you can keep 1 day as well. But if he comes to Sephardi family, says Rav Adya, you should be keeping 2 days. And this is probably the standard practice of Rav Poskim, you come for a few days, etc., etc. The Chacham Tzvi, although he's the most famous one to disagree, the Alter Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch Rav also disagrees. And they both argue, no, you should be keeping 1 day. The Chacham Tzvi, I printed up his tshuva, it's written by the Malcolm, everyone wants to reach him, we're welcome to. He writes that the minhag to be machmir was only about malacha on Erev Pesach. And this would certainly not be the case to make brachos and to davin, they'd all be brachos levatolas, they'd all be tefilos, shem Hashem levatola. There's no way we have minhag as malicious, as wicked as that. The whole thing is crazy. And he goes, even malach and Eretz Yisrael, there's no minhag. The Mishnah of Pesachim is talking about when there's a minhag on people, when the minhag on the gavra. This is a minhag on the makom, not a minhag on the person. In Eretz Yisrael, there was never a minhag. When B'nai, the minhag of keeping Yantav Sheni Shagolias or not, all depends upon where you are, not where you are from. And that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Cairo in his tshuva versus the Chacham Tzvi. In his tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi says if you are geographically located in Eretz Yisrael, you keep one day. If you're geographically located in Chutzlitz, keep 2 days. Which at first glance sounds like a big kula, but for Israelis who are going back to America, Pesach, America for Pesach, so there's a chumra there that I should be keeping 2 full days. I think it's Rabbi Adler from Tinek tells the TABC boys that's not what they should do in Eretz Yisrael. 1 day in Chutzlitz, 2, even tells it to Israelis. Based upon this Chacham Tzvi. This is the sheet of the Chacham Tzvi. He writes, not only is it preferable to keep 1 day, but there's an Issa D'Araisa of keeping 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. It's a problem with Bal Tosef. Now let him make up extra days of Yantif. And if there's no minhag to do it, which there isn't, says the Chacham Tzvi, it's an Issa of Bal Tosef, and one should not be doing that. L'halacha, what should one do? So, again, if a person is not here for the whole year, it's a major machlokas posting. Some say 2 days, some say 1 day. Then there become these in between 1 and 2 day type shitas. For Soloveitchik, supposedly when he came here in 1930, whatever it was, when he applied for a job at the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, which he did not get the job, they picked someone else over him. I think the story is that the Rav came here and Cook told his son, Tzvi Yehuda. He said, Rav Kook, no. And he said, I've never met anyone like this person since Rav Chaim. Rav Kook would have been Belosh. And although Rav Kook is not that close with Rav Chaim, he was really a top of the Mitziv, both in terms of Hashkafa, in terms of Zionism, in terms of his Derech Halimud. He wanted the words filling all day. Rav Chaim told him no, and the Mitziv told him yes. And Rav Kook was really a top of the Mitziv more than Rav Chaim. He was very impressed by Rav Chaim. He said to his son, Rav Tzvihud, if you want to ever get someone a little taste of what Rav Chaim is like, follow around Rabbi Soloveitchik. Suppose when the Rav was here for a week and a half, Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kook followed him around everywhere he went, toward every shir he gave, every tzicha, mamash followed him like white on rice. He couldn't get away. Anyway, when the Rav came here, so yes, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, his father, the standard version of the Pesach is that he was told to keep a day and a half. Or maybe to keep 1 day, but maybe Shavuos was on a Friday, and therefore the second day after Malach was Shabbos anyway. The standard Pesach, I think it's written up in Rav Chaim's name in a Masorah journal. This is the way most people quote Rabbi Soloveitchik. I think Rav Lichtenstein quotes him that way. I think Schechter quotes him that way. The standard version of Rabbi Soloveitchik Pesach is to keep what we call a day and a half. What does that mean? It means Mikra didn't follow the Chacham Tzvi. That's a compelling sheet, so that makes more sense. However, in reverence to all of the poskim, the overwhelming majority of poskim who believe that really 2 days is correct, in reference to their shita, we're not going to violate Bal Tosef and go out and do mitzvahs and stop doing malacha b'toras din. But b'toras chumra, what do you got to lose? May as well not do malacha. There's nothing wrong with waiting 24 more hours and not writing. There's nothing wrong with not driving a car and who knows what. So the salvation of the pasuk called day and a half. I was actually a kid. Talmud once asked me what I hope. I said day and a half. So about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, we started driving. What are you doing? It's like it's a day and a half. I said, I should be more clear. The half is not a quantitative half, it's a qualitative half. We only avoid the malachos, we don't do the mitzvot. The mitzvot would be Bal Tosef. But stop, not to go into a car, but Torah Schorma, as long as you don't Torah Schorma, it's not a problem with Bal Tosef. And that is how the Soloveitchik used to suggest. I should put in an asterisk to that. Rabbi Adler, I think, thinks the Rav holds it's 1 day, not just himself saying it's 1 day. And again, that confusion of the Shavuos thing may have led to that confusion, yeah?
Like the story Rabbi told how some guy was in a car with the Rav and asked him, like, why should they have? Rav had no clue what that meant. Like, he didn't even know that name of the sheet. Like, it's very unclear what he actually
said. So Rabbi Adler, I think, Rabbi Adler is known to say Rabbi Soloveitchik held it 1 day. This story may have proven, never heard of a day and a half. Nonetheless, the standard Pesach, the name of the Rav, is a day and a half. People should be aware that there are some versions of this day and a half. There is only avoid malacha. Then there's another way of try your best. Let's say it's Pesach. Should you try to eat matzah, kazayis matzah? Should you try to go to a seder and drink dalet kosos? How much should one be machmir for Torah's chumra? Should you hear kiddush and havdalah after the first night? Like, no, havdalah you should certainly make. What about kiddush? You certainly shouldn't make it. Should be brachah matalah, but if he hears about making it, should you be yotzei? Okay, some posts think you should be mocking out of reference for that, some not. If you want to, great. If not, I don't think it's necessary. I think Rav Nochum Neria, which was a Rav in the Yeshiva, now he opened up a new yeshiva called Torah Bitzion, and it's a yeshiva in Katamonim. He's very chashim Talmud Chacham. His father was Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, who was also very, very, very chashim Talmud Chacham. Also the head of Bnei Akiva. Started the national Bnei Akiva, but his own right was a very chashim Talmud Chacham. Rav Nochum Neria has got a lot of interesting shitas, particularly about Eretz Yisrael issues. And he passed into a quarter, a day and a quarter. He thinks you should not do malachas daraisa, but the rabbanim he thinks are fine. Mikra doing pasuk with the chacham tzvi, but to be machman daraisa and the rabbanim, you don't need to be so machman. To be machman daraisa, as he holds, you should be. There are very few people who held it. There was a kid, Ariel Mazer here, who was from Montreal. He learned here a few years ago, and he was, he and his brother were both talmidim of Neri, or Neri's son was a shliach in Montreal, so they kind of picked up and they became talmidim of him. So I think Rabbi Elon Mazer, before he was, that was Rabbi in Taranta, so he was here in Yeshiva before he made Aliyah, and his brother Ariel, before he also made Aliyah, they were keeping gays in the border. To be a real Talmud Chacham to know what you're supposed to keep, you know what I'm saying? Because Arai said they're Abana, and it's Machlok is Arai said they're Abana, because you're a gay guy, you know? Okay. Such a sheet that exists. What do I tell people to do? I speak, tell people to call your local Orthodox rabbi. If you have a post-take from home, that's fantastic. If you don't have a post-take from home, so either get a post-take or either I'm your post-take, or by default, I'm your post-take. I'll be more appreciative of it's lechad chila, but I'll never get it. So I tell people to keep a day and a half. I tell people you should keep one day, and the second day, you should not do malacha. You don't have to run around to make yourself crazy and do all the assays as well. You should try best to avoid malacha. At the end of the day, you're here for a year anyway. You have the chacham tzvi. Beyond that, you have many other posts who leave one day. You have, if you're here for a year or even 2 years, and even if you're going back for some of the gimel regalim, still you're here for a year, and whatnot, believe you're here. And therefore, I think there's enough room to keep one day, but nonetheless, out of reverence to the overwhelming majority of posts, really the clear-cut majority, you know, you should keep it a day and a half. That's my personal stock, if anyone's interested. I don't think it'll change, but it is becoming more and more popular to keep a day. I don't know if that's just people coming, hey, look at that, great. Why would I want to keep two if I can keep one? Which I think is some of it. Some of it is the sense of tzionut. You find a lot more in the tzioni community a day and a day and a half than you do elsewhere. Maybe because they're talmidim of the Rav. Maybe because Eretz Yisrael can't stand out of Sheni Shalgali somewhere. We're so careful about Eretz Yisrael, and I don't know where it comes from. But you find much more in the Haredi world, with the exception of Chabad, followed by Tanya. You find much more in the Haredi world, people can be 2 days, and much more in the tzioni world a day, a day and a half, and all sorts of permutations in between. So I would tell Ashkenazim really one day and a half, and I would tell Sephardim, if you're single and you're alone, maybe you'll find a woman like Rav Elazar, you know, one day. And if you're Sephardi and married, so I'll probably tell you a day and a half. That's why I asked Rav Mora. I tell Ashkenazim that, Rav Mora says you tell Sephardim that if they're married, and therefore that essentially is the basic thing in terms of malacha, in terms of kiddush, in terms of mitzvahs, before we get to all the other issues that come up, like asking a Jew to do malacha for you, and you know, minyanim and all these other issues. Let's take around the question. One, two, three, one.
And you have one answer.
Two.
So I think there's a story like the Rambam of Shammai like says like don't reply down.
Yeah, don't let that for Kriya Shema. Someone did it, and it was bad. Mishnah and Baruch Hashem, not the Alei. Made the Gemara right there. Yeah.
So like when do we?
This is a great Hashkafic question about when are chumers appropriate versus inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's good, but not for now. It's, you know, next Bob, you'll ask me. I don't think this is certainly appropriate. If the overwhelming majority of folks have the sheep, I think it would not be unfair to what's called. It would not be unfair to say it's legitimate to be machmer here. That's what Salvation felt. I certainly feel like enough of a, I wouldn't call myself a Talmud, it would be a grand Talmud, is that a word? Like all my Rebbeim are Talmidim of the Rav, almost everyone, and if not, they're Talmidim of the Rav. So I certainly feel he's a heavy hitter enough. And that's what Rabbi Targum says. I say that the standard shot in Shiva is to keep a day and a half. It sounds like, hey, look, it's win-win. I don't have to be too mach, I don't have to be too makel. The day and a half is not that enjoyable. You know, the second day, it's like no malach, but there's no kedushas hayom. It's like keeping Shabbos in sixth grade. You know what I mean? Like when you're still, like you're big enough to know to be responsible to keep it, but not big enough to know to enjoy it type of thing. In any event, that seems to be the standard except for Pesach. That was one, that was two, three.
Where is because there are many people who hold that? 2 days, so we'll hold something in between.
If not so much in between as it is, we'll be careful and reverence that at every stock, and it's not uncommon. You find it often. You find it in situations where we're not sure if you're like this guy, that guy, so we'll kind of, you know, sometimes take both into account. Maybe mezuzah is a good example of it, yeah. Sometimes the Shulchan Aruch even quotes 2 days himself, in which case, sometimes we follow one, sometimes we follow the other, sometimes we're careful for both. You know, I think in general, yeah, there are different ways of learning that type of stuff. Yeah?
What would be the case with
Philip? We'll get to it. So what about minyan? So, originally some posts were against making a minyan. You don't have to change the goalies, if it was lotus go to do. This with our eyes, and better should that be a chid, is it? Then you'd have to feel the team was important, but it's certainly not that important. It's moderately important. You know, it's not important enough to violate what it's going to do, but nonetheless, the standard of stock these days, the Apis Rocha writes, the Rajasiv writes, even the Mikra Dinah should be awesome, since everyone's already doing it, it's kind of like accepted. People know about it, it's not really a problem. Next, can you ask a goy to do malacha for you? The answer is no, but there's a chumra called Amir Lanachri. Okay, it's only the Rabbanah, maybe Rav Neri would allow for it, but the standard of stock is it's us, you're not going to do Isra the Rabbanah and you have to change your rebellious. What happens? Can you ask a Jew to do malacha for you? Whether you keep 2 days or a day and a half, can you ask a Jew to do malacha for you? So some poskim say, Amir l'Nachri applies not just to Nachri, but to Jews as well. The point is, it's being mezalzel on Yontif and don't do it. My Tara didn't encourage people to be machmer over here. But I think the overwhelming majority of poskim are Mekel. They say Amir l'Nachri is dafka for Goyim, for Avad Yosef. I think it's mutter, he quotes many other posts, I think it's mutter, the standard stock, I think is mutter, you want to be machmer, I think it's tavol of bracha, you're not kotel, but he has machmer in this particular area, he tells people to be machmer. I respect it, certainly, you're up, but I think Mikra did, the overwhelming majority of posts can seem to not side with Rav Targan on this one. I think Rav Adjah himself in the footnote in the Chazon of Adjah, he has a rai, he goes, If you're Makabel Shabbos early, and I'm not, I could ask you to do Malacha. So you see from here that what? There's no Amira L'Nachri to Jews. And that seems to be the most well-accepted psak. You can ask Goyim to do stuff for you, turn on a light, turn on a fan, etc., etc. Let's say you want to get in a bus or get in a car and go somewhere. Goyim or Aser, Jews or Mutter. The Israel, Amira L'Nachri, no, it's only to Nachri. For Jews, it'd be okay. If I said that backwards, I apologize. What about taking a bus or a cab? So some posts can say right off the bat, no. Rav Adjah says no, right off the bat, no. Buses are us, or cars are us, or everything's us. Other posts from the house between buses and cars, I think buses are okay, but cars are a problem. And some posts would say, cars are okay. Needless to say, we're not talking about leaving the tchum. Needless to say, we're not talking about the person opens the door and the light goes on. Rather, the Israeli opens the door, a Jew walks in, sits in the car, and the Israeli closes the door, and the Jew doesn't turn on the radio. The Jew keeping yontif, you know, doesn't turn on the radio, whatnot. It seems to be a very duchatik pshat. I would not encourage you to get into cars, and even buses, I would try to avoid it at all costs. And certainly be careful about stuff like tchum. Next. Questions? What? Keeping one day from his mother. Totally fine. You can drive the car yourself. Keeping a day and a half or 2 days, so can the Jew do malacha for the answer? You can ask him, but cars are a little bit more problematic. I would try to avoid that. Again, we're talking about if you don't pay for the bus yourself, someone else pays for you. We're talking about, you know, when it's time to get off, you don't press the button, someone else presses the button for you. Needless to say, you're doing a malacha. The bus doesn't matter all malachas. You know that? No one has such a thought. What about tefillin? So in general, tefillin and cholam is a major discussion in poskim. Some poskim say you should wear, some poskim say you shouldn't wear. Probably that machlokas boils down to, is it more chol or more moed? I think the Mishnah Siyavim even says it may link up to whether or not chol and moed has an isra daraisa of malacha or an isra darabana. There's machlokas return with malacha and chol moed's asher daraisa darabana, but for that matter, masra darabana lechachami. I'm learning yoga, so it's a familiar terminology. So the post comes out, okay, if it's bifad of malacha, that's a daraisa, then it's a din of chag, it's a din of moed, in which case you shouldn't wear tefillin. If it's only us, Midr Abana, he's Mikra, then there really is no Kiddush HaSiyat, the holding Midr Abana. In which case, you should be wearing tefillin because it's more chol than moed. Okay, everyone has their own sack. People have their own sheetahs. Some people wear, do wear tefillin, some people don't wear tefillin, some people with a bracha, without a bracha, some people have it tonight. You wish the Buddha spells out it tonight. But if there's a mitzvah, I'm doing Moshe Mitzvah tefillin. And if not, I'm doing with negative kavanah like a sleeve, and dafka shouldn't be yotzei. Whatever you want tefillin, okay. What about wearing tefillin in Eretz Yisrael publicly? So that's certainly lo tefillin. You should not wear tefillin in shul. If you wear it privately, usually, do not. If you wear it in shul, usually, do not wear your tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. On Chol Hamoed, to Mishra Daraisa, call lo tefillin. If you want to wear your tefillin, and that's your minute, so great. You should put on your tefillin before shul. Say Kriyat Shema with your tefillin on, take them off, and go to shul and go daven. If you can't do it before shul, you should do it after shul. Say Kriyat Shema, take up your tefillin. If you can't do it after shul, you should do it sometime before shkia, put your tefillin on, say Kriyat Shema, and stop. You should get your tefillin on if that's your midhug. You should not miss the tefillin. You can put on Chol Hamoed. I have a few minutes, so I'll just share with you quickly the story of the Haflor. Rabbi Tarrant tells the story often. That when the Haflor passed away, he was of the Haflor, I think it was a chasm living in the Litvish community. So the Litvak used to wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed, and the Sephardim and the Chassidim really didn't. He was a chassid, so he thought it was about those to put on tefillin, and he also thought it was going to do not to wear tefillin. So he was a rabbi of the shul, so he couldn't stay home. So they didn't know what he did, they just simply put on tefillin, and he allowed him to live with the. But when he died, they went into his drawer, and they found two pairs of tefillin, one that said tefillin, and one that said Chol Hamoed. They opened up the Chol Hamoed tefillin, and there was no parchment inside. He was wearing some black boxes, you know, for style. I guess he wasn't over about those. Okay. Question. Yeah.
So on a day and a half, if you turn on for tefillin.
If it's a day and a half, you should be wearing tefillin. You should not miss the opportunity to tefillin for this. If the whole thing's a chumrah, you wouldn't even battle a mitzvah to say daraisa for a chumrah. Yeah.
So then you got a normal tefillin.
Yeah. When you should, if you are ben eretz Yisrael, a ben chutzlar, putting on tefillin, you should put on your tefillin quickly, take them off, go to minyan on Chol Hamoed. And not in regular tefillah. Now, if you've done the Sheni Shalgalias, probably you should put your tefillin on and daven at home and not go to shul that day, unless you're in a community where you don't go to shul, that would be like, hey, David didn't go to shul today.
You're holding a day and a half. So that.
Day number two, you should put on tefillin. Okay. And number eight.
Ignoring tefillin, but it doesn't come with tefillah.
You should be davening tefillah to chol. You pass the mikvah, then it's chol. End of story. You're just being machmer. Treat yourself as a chol, like a guy, one day guy with. Chol is out of reference to all those posts. Yeah.
What's the reason that
Why in Israel did everyone not pronounce tefillin? They just do a better job of avoiding what this goes into. All the posts can talk about it. And sure, you should, if everyone wears tefillin, you should not put them on. You should put them on. If no one wears tefillin, you should not put them on. Half is what this goes into. And therefore, in different communities in Europe, everyone did what the community did. When Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, they were all Talmidei HaGra. The Gra said nothing, so they followed the Gra through and through. That's what they say, Baruch Shem Yolam. That's what they do say in Kelokeinu. They followed the Nusach HaGra, things that the Gra through and through. In America, in England, and where the country did come, it's a total mess. Really, if everyone's wearing tefillin, you should not be wearing tefillin. But since half the people do wear and half the people don't wear, the rabbis couldn't convince the wearers not to wear, the non-wearers to wear. Back in the days, you can picture like the old grumpy Jews looked like. Europe used to, you know. So, okay. They couldn't convince people to stop by like we'll just go to do. So people wear and don't wear. Yeah.
What extent is the power of a minhag over Rai, you know, you have a to a certain way, and you personally believe like a halakha is important?
It's a great question. Not for right now. Yeah.
I live in Bush University tonight. It's the University. It's all working.
Yeah, the Mishmer would probably make that Tanai only if there's no bracha. If there is a bracha, then I guess the Tanai would take into account the fact that you may be doing a bracha levatela. But yeah, the standard thing is if you're making a bracha, you probably should not be making that Tanai. And if you're not making a bracha, then the Tanai doesn't hurt. Doesn't help. Doesn't hurt. Lastly, two more things. How should you be dressed? You wear big day Shabbos, big day Chol. So the truth is, it's a very poorly accepted halacha in our community that we dress on Chol Hamoed like we do on Chol. All the poskim say you should wear big day Yontif. You want to be naked and not wear a suit and just wear a white shirt, you're probably okay. You want to wear something that's slightly under big day Shabbos, big day Yontif for Chol Hamoed, and wear, well, not a side, wear a jacket and tie every Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's probably the right thing to do. If you hear it, I'll leave you for a second. Let's say a person doesn't want to wear a jacket and tie in Eretz Yisrael, it's totally legitimate to wear a white shirt. I would strongly discourage a blue shirt on Shabbos, I'll tell you why. Or a colored shirt on Shabbos, I'll tell you why. If you say, listen, the nicest way to dress, and although if you wear a blue shirt with a suit, I think that's okay. I'll share with you why. If you think the standard practice there to throw big day Shabbos, I want to wear big day Shabbos right to throw, I respect that. That's a white shirt. If you want to wear a dress like you do in Chutzlars, I think it's a jack and tie. Now you can wear a blue shirt. You can get away going to the office these days with a nice blue shirt or a pink shirt or a yellow shirt that matches your tie or something fancy like that. That's totally legitimate in Chutzlars. But I think to wear a blue or yellow shirt here without a jacket and tie, I think is not that desperate Shabbos. Nonetheless, that's my side point about Shabbos. In terms of Chol HaMoed, you should be wearing a suit. If not a suit, at least having a white shirt. That seems to be the standard. That's what I do on here on Yom Tov. Let's say a person who only wears a white shirt in the first place on Chol HaMoed, on Shabbos and Yom Tov here in Eretz Yisrael, and you want to take it one step lower and just wear like a nice blue shirt on Chol HaMoed, I think there's room for that on Chol HaMoed. On Yom Tov, I think you should not be wearing a blue shirt unless you have a jacket on Chol HaMoed. I think you probably can. Still, I encourage you to wear a white shirt. I think it's a frum thing to do, but halachically, you're probably okay with a like a blue shirt or like a non-white shirt. In any event, therefore, let's say, you know, we're talking about day number two is not a shaila anyway. You should be wearing something nice because it's Chol HaMoed. What about day number, I guess it's 9 for Sukkot, and day number 8 for Pesach, right? You know, the last day. So there's some who do and some who don't. I think either one's legitimate in halacha. It's not a problem for folks to go to do because the whole world knows that people are keeping up the change of Galia. That's what Morris had to be along the lines of the tefillah thing. But the women of Shabbos is probably, if you keep me 2 days, I'd probably encourage them. Keeping a day and a half, I'd probably discourage it. But, you know, I don't think it's a critical thing. Lastly, if you dive in the wrong Shemun Esrei, you get caught up and you went the whole shul, let's say you're keeping 2 days and you really dive, you realize you have to give out that dive in the weekday Shemun Esrei. So as long as you said Yalla V'Yavo, you're Yotzeh. That's true in general. The first day Yantiv, the second day Yantiv, as long as you said Yalla V'Yavo in general, you're okay. Those are basically the halachas of Yantiv Shein Shogolios for a band Chutz Laretz visiting or slowly moving to Eretz Yisrael. We'll stop here.